But what I'd like to do for just a moment, if you will, I want to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew. We're just going to take just a few minutes. I want to look at one verse, and then I'm going to give an introduction to tonight of something that will be starting that I've been involved with really a little bit on Wednesday night, but it'll help for next Wednesday night as we finish this about the world system started in Genesis chapter 11, and God's system, the blessed system, Genesis chapter 12. But here in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, it amazes me sometimes when you see such as the Lord said that, to know that you and I in these bodies of flesh, and I can prove that scripture, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. The only perfection we have is what is established in Christ, and we trust Christ as our personal Savior. The new creation in us is a perfect creation. But what he's setting forth here is a goal. And we have, when you talk about perfection, it has to do about completeness. It has to do about, comes from a Greek word, means to reach its end at telos, which means finished, complete, perfect, fully grown, mature, full age. All of those take in the word perfect. So you have to look at the era that it's looked at in context to understand how it's used. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm not going to go any further with that verse because I'm going to show it later, that whereas there is a goal that God sets for us, and he lets us see in this life that we can't accomplish that in ourselves. He said in Matthew to the Jewish people there, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody on this earth that they thought was living right, the scribes and Pharisees. And for Jesus to use them as an example and said, except your righteousness exceed. No one in the Jewish family thought that their righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees because they were their spiritual leaders. But he said, except your righteousness exceed that. Beyond that, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So here talking about also the kingdom of God. So we're seeing that something has to take place that we have no part in ourselves to do. We can't save ourselves. And yet we have to have a righteousness that God talks about in heaven. And we understand, said in the scripture, that righteousness is imputed to us in the book of Romans when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. So we have the potential that we can actually go towards this righteousness, work towards this righteousness that the world cannot see. See, when we get saved, we can work towards the righteousness that God tells us to be that complete, to be the child of God that he wants us to be in this particular life. This word here, when he talked about it in Matthew 5:48, it means the word implies full development, grown in the maturity of godliness. It's not sinless perfection, but it's a goal to work towards. And we have to look at words in context to understand some biblical truth. Now, let me give an example and go no further than that just to what we'll be looking at in the next few weeks. But I have some words. You know, the English language is one of the most unusual, crazy languages that there is. Because you've got a lot of words spelt the same that mean different, have different meanings to it. Exactly. I mean, every word, a number of these words are spelt the same, but they have different meanings. And the way you understand the meaning is how you use it in context of a sentence or in a situation. If I would give you, now let me give you a few to look at just for a minute, and then we're going to move on. I'm going to stay here just a few minutes. If I'd give you the word W-O-U-N-D, it could be wound. Or it could be wound. Now, either way, it doesn't sound like it when you spell W-O-U-N-D. If I would say this sentence, the bandage was wound around the womb. Womb and wound at this time is spelled the same, W-O-U-N-D, but it's pronounced different. You know, the bandage was wound. That's an action verb. It was done. But the womb was something that took place. It'd be a noun. So here you'd have to understand the meaning in the sentence by keeping it in context. Let me give you another one. Produce, P-R-O-U-D-U-C-E. Notice this. The farm was used to produce produce. Now there's two words spelt the same. But the context is how you understand it. One, again, is a verb, and the other is a noun. produce produce. Now, when you see it in that light, but can you imagine someone trying to understand in another country, understand the English language, and see these words and can't get them in context? That's the problem in our day. We got so many people today talk about that, you know, the Greek word says this, the Greek word says that. And by the way, it's good to know some of these things, but some of these people use Greek words with the English words to benefit them in what they believe because it's shaded along the way. And you listen a lot of times to people, if they use a Greek word in the right context, we're fine. But on the other hand, you'll find they'll go say, for instance, the Greek word also can mean this, or it can mean this. And if you notice, out of context, they're making it mean what they want it to mean because it fits where they're at rather than them being fitting for God wants them to be. You see what I'm talking about? And we see that in our own language. And I think about just the word Hades in the New Testament. We get our word hell, and the word Sheol in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, that we get words has to do such as death, grave. It means the place of departed spirits. But those words there, we have one word here in New Testament, Hades, where departed spirits go. But we know Jesus said there's a two section of that. There's upper and lower. There's Abraham's bosom, and there's a place of fire underneath that. So that's when I keep saying, sometimes people say, well, preach, why are you always talking about being in context? Because if you don't study the scripture in context, you will be led wrong. Satan understands we have trouble with language barriers sometimes. And I know another, take for instance, here's one, here's R-E-F-U-S-E. This sentence, notice, the dump was so full that it had to refuse more refuse. That's how the emphasis is. Here the accents on how they had to refuse the accents on the end, R-E-F-U-S-E, the accents on the end. But where it says, because they had to refuse, they had more refuse, accents on the F, R-E-S. And yet they're spelt the same. If you've got the word R-E-F-U-S-E, and it's in a sentence somehow or another, you've got to understand the context it's in to understand why how it's used. Because how in the world can you have two words mean two different, have one word that can mean two different things that sounds alike? But you can. It's how it's used. Here's another that's interesting. We must polish the Polish furniture. Now, both of these are spelled the same. The only difference is we must polish, that's like a verb. The Polish, the only difference is in the word Polish, the P is capitalized. And yet it's the same. So he said, we understand that. When you see words like that and you read it, can you understand what has been said, emphasized? And yet, if we were trying to understand English from another language, we'd probably have some trouble with some of these words, and you'd have to study deeper into it to get it in the right context so we'd understand what's been said and realize that they didn't misprint because they did that. Here's another, L-E-A-D. He could lead if he could get the lead out. Now, both of these are spelled the same, but you can understand when you hear the sentence pronounced the way it should be in the sentence, we understand what has been said. But if we didn't know that, we'd pronounce it, we pronounced it lead, and we said he could lead if he could get the lead out. Or if he pronounced it lead, he could lead if he'd get the lead out. But when you read it in the sentence in context, though it's spelt the same, the emphasis is that he can lead, he could lead if he'd get the lead out. How about this one? It's interesting. The word D-E-S-E-R-T, desert. The soldier decided to desert his desert in the desert. It's spelled the same, with exception desert's got an extra S in it. So if he took this, the soldier decided to desert, the accent's on the T. In the desert, the accent's on the S, but they're spelt the same in the English language. I'm going to leave you confused because I don't have time to go through all of this, but I'm just showing you how, when it comes to understanding the scriptures, we have to, if we go back and look at words in our words, and sometimes it's hard to find certain words, like in the Old Testament, in the English language, to fulfill for our better understanding, and it takes more than casual reading. You have to study, and even sometimes, if you have there's a lot of good lectures and things you can get into to look at Greek words, and follow those. You want to, you don't have to. I'm glad that I can believe the King James, but it does help me to help someone else who comes to me and say, wait, this verse says this, but that word, and by the way, I could say some of those words, that word can mean this, could mean that, and find out their pattern in their life that's out of doctrine, biblically, because they use something that someone has said that word can mean this as well as this, and they use it in their own way. Here's another one, present, present. Since there is no time like the present, he thought it was time to present. Let me read it that way. Since there's no time like the present, he thought it was time to present the present. Here are three words, three meanings in one word that's spelled the same in our English language. What about this one? B-A-S-S. What's the first thing you think of when you see B-A-S-S? Fishing. And what that represents? Bass? Well, let's look at it. If you look at this along the same line, the bass was painted on the head of the bass drum. They're both spelt the same, B-A-S-S. So again, of course, we understand the bass, we know, is a fish, and we know what a bass drum is. Notice this one. When shot at, the dove dove unto the bushes. D-O-V-E spelt the same. Here's another one. O-B-J-E-C-T, object. I didn't object to the object. Spelt the same. And yet has two different meanings how it's used in a sentence. Here's another one. The insurance was invalid for the invalid. That means it had no force for that person that was sick that was not well. And yet, have two different meanings as far as when it's used in a sentence, depending on how you use it. Here's another that's very interesting. There was a row among the oars about how to row. Now, I know what a row is as a farm boy. You heard me talking about plowing a row. Well, the row is something, is like a line. On the other hand, he said that there was a row among the oarsmen about how to row. That means how to mow a boat. There's a difference in a row in the sense of a line and someone rowing a boat. The action there. What about this one? I'll just give a few more of these. And this is what I'm saying about the English language. It's really amazing. So I keep in mind, when I begin to hear something about a word can mean something else, and I hear it a lot, because I get a lot of discussion to people who think they get to the point that they say, but I know this. I know this word can mean this and mean that, especially when you get to talking about certain people who are preachers and certain people who are deacons and certain people, you get into that. They say, but that word can be feminine. It also can be masculine. Not in the right context, it can't. And notice it said this. He said, here's another one. It's D-O-E-S. The buck does notice when the doe are present. D-O-E-S. The buck does notice when the does are present. The buck, the first does, is it pronounced D-U-Z, D-U-Z, does. But it's D-O-E-S, we pronounce it does. And when you talk about the doe, it's D-O, but it's D-O-E-S when you talk about more than one. So here it's the same. Here's another one. A seamstress and a sewer fell down into the sewer line. S-E-W-E-R spelt the same. One is sewing, the other's in the sewage. To help with planting, the farmer, watch this. To help with planting, the farmer taught the sow to sow. Sow's an animal. Sow is a process. Here's another one. The wind was too strong to win the sail. Now, there's the wind, we know what that is, but the wind, the sail is to blow, talking about blowing the sail for direction. Here's another one, T-A-R, tear. Upon seeing the tear in the painting, I shed a tear. Another one, S-U-B-J-E-C-T, subject. I had to subject the subject to a series of tests. It's spelt the same, but used entirely different ways. And then the last one, how can I intimate? This is my most intimate friend. Intimate means make known. How can I make known? And this is, he says, and it says, and this is my intimate friend. That is my closest friend. One is, how can I intimate? How can I set forth and make known someone? And then the rest of that is, this person is my intimate friend. One is asking, how can I do this process? The other is saying, this is my intimate friend. And they're spelt the same along that line. So I just give an idea that why we're going to be looking at some of these in the future to show that why God is so precise in what he's doing. And he chooses precise words. That's right. I had a person just ask me last week, asked the question, Brother Hinz, do you believe that God comes and talks to people now like he did prophets years ago? And I said, no. And they were stunned. He said, well, I believe they do because I hear them all the time talking about different television and so forth, that God came to them, spoke to them, and so forth. I said, I believe this. This world is so confused, you don't stay by the standard. This, you know what God has said. How do you know when someone said God said something, they said it? You can, anybody who reads this that believes this book and can show this to you, it's showing you what God has documented that he says is his standard. So it will be right if we get it in context. God has a story from Genesis to Revelation, and we're connecting the dots, and that's what is happening when we look at Jesus Christ and why he's the last Adam, with Adam being the first Adam, and we can get into that. But I wanted to show you the kind of a kickoff tonight that there is, our English language has got a lot of problems with words that they're not problems if they're put in context and the way they're used in a sentence or the way we use them in our understanding as far as life is concerned. So we thank the Lord for at least being able to analyze that and get it in context and understand, even though it's spelt the same. It may look odd, but it's not odd if you learn how it's worked and so forth. Sister Spark?